What's up, everybody? We're doing an extra episode here for the podcast. This is me just talking about BlizzCon, how it went. Little bonus episode for you guys. So, first of all, good to be back in Seoul. It's really cool to wrap up the entire year, crown a champion, and then get ready to start all over again. Quick reminder, KSL is still going on. I think this podcast is probably going to be released Friday while KSL is still out. I'll be mentioning that on the show as well. But definitely, if you're jonesing for some StarCraft, KSL is going to be on for the next, I think, 3 weeks. So still a little bit of StarCraft. They always squeeze in a little bit in December here. Since I've been back, I've been laddering. I just tanked my MMR like 100 points. Super salty about that. And other than that, man, I've just been doing a whole bunch of real life stuff, getting some stuff for my apartment. I don't know, just kind of getting settled in, getting ready for the winter. And it is getting pretty cold out here, by the way. The winters in Korea are brutal. So other housekeeping stuff. As you guys know, we've unlocked the video portion of the podcast. I met with some guys last night. I think I found a space where I can record and I can rent some equipment, because the stuff I want to use, if I were to buy it, we need to have way more money, and we're not there yet. But I think with the Patreon money we've got, I can hire some guys, borrow some equipment, and we're going to try an episode coming up here that is going to be video only. We still have a few extra recordings that we haven't released yet. Some that I did at BlizzCon and some that I did before that are going to be coming out. But we will be having this video stuff coming here. I'm very excited about that. So if you guys can, the Patreon support is really appreciated. I'm really looking forward to doing video stuff too. Although I have noticed now that a lot of people have shifted from YouTube over to podcast apps like Spotify and iTunes, which is exciting, because that was really originally what this was intended for, was something that you can consume without having to necessarily sit down and watch it. But the video portion is going to be cool as well. So if you guys are at home and you want to tune in, put it on your second monitor or something like that, you guys are welcome too. So going to LA, that was really fun. I really enjoyed, by the way, the pre-week that we did out here in Korea. I thought the GSL staff did an awesome job. And let me know what you guys think about that. But I thought that the WCS pre-week was really fun. I like the flavor that a Freaka TV production puts on it. They have a little bit of a different style, as you guys probably have noticed, you know, GSL production or ASL production compared to a lot of other studios. So I really enjoyed that. And it was really fun to then go travel with everybody together to LA and get set up there and then get ready for that final day at BlizzCon. So before I go into the StarCraft stuff, let's start with, I have a piece of paper, the list of stuff. Okay, so let's just start with BlizzCon started. So the Hearthstone apology. First of all, one of the reasons why I haven't talked about the Blitzchung incident or anything like that is, first of all, the news was crazy when it came out. And then Blizzard released that not really an apology, like saying it had nothing to do with China, which was really weird. And I remember when I saw that, I thought, okay, this can't be the last time this is going to come up. Something's going to have to happen at BlizzCon. They're going to have to do something. And then there was also this weird situation where, you know, they fired 800 people at Blizzard earlier this year. These people that are there now are not the people I worked with before. So I wanted to get down to BlizzCon, actually talk to some Blizzard people, get a feel for, you know, what their take on it was, and just kind of unpack it there before I made any statement about it. So first of all, I am glad to see that Blizzard apologized, or Jay Allen Brack apologized. I think we're going to have to wait and see what they do next. I know a lot of people were talking about how they didn't go further in explaining a change of rules or anything like that. I don't know if we would have expect to see that in a keynote speech, but I guess as esports events from Blizzard continue to move on, we're just going to have to see how they react and how they behave. Obviously, I'm pro-free speech, pro-democracy. I was really wondering when we got down to BlizzCon what their attitude, Blizzard's attitude, was going to be about the protests. And I am relieved to say that they definitely were okay with protesters. They told me they were not going to try to hide any Free Hong Kong signs or try to silence anybody. They said, if it comes up, it comes up, and the show will go on. Because I think that was a big concern for a lot of people coming down, is how is Blizzard going to react? Are they going to be trying to silence people? The protest outside, the protesters were very friendly. I got to chat with them on the second day of BlizzCon because there was no StarCraft on day two. And yeah, I'm relieved to see that Blizzard is aware of the mistakes they've made. And I know that from talking to a lot of the people down there. They also told casters and other people who are freelancers down there, you know, you guys are welcome to join in on the protests or talk about it on social media. Just please don't do it as the show is actually going on because we're there to progress the show. So down the road, we're just going to have to see how Blizzard and a lot of other esports companies are going to handle issues like this. So the future is going to be pretty interesting. I know a lot of people are saying that you shouldn't be playing Blizzard games anymore. And I understand the sentiment, but, you know, I do have to say not playing Blizzard games would not free Hong Kong. I think that, you know, BlizzChunk succeeded in getting his message out there. People are talking about it. I'm talking about it right now. But I would encourage you guys to just go to r Hong Kong on Reddit and try to follow the news out there, because I think talking to people about it, you can join protests, you can urge your government in ways to support Hong Kong if you feel strongly about it. I think that's what's more important than, you know, purging yourself from stuff. I think when you're, let's say you give up your iPhone because Apple has succumbed to pressure from China, you don't watch the NBA anymore, you don't play Blizzard games. In some ways, that's a way to make yourself feel better, where I think there's more that you can do to actively get out there if you feel strongly about it and support what's going on there. So if you're not informed, I would suggest you go to R Hong Kong. There's a lot of information about what's going on down there. And I think that's the best way to go about doing stuff. So very glad to see that the protesters were welcomed at BlizzCon, and that there was even some protests in the event, but I think Blizzard is aware that they messed up. And as I said before, we're going to have to see how they handle this moving forward. After that, the Diablo 4 announcement. That trailer was fucking cool, man. Now, I don't know how much of you guys are Diablo people. I mainly only played Diablo 1. I played a little bit of Diablo 2. I think I was in high school when that was out. But I ended up going back to StarCraft pretty quickly. And then Diablo 3, I barely touched. But I'll tell you, man, Diablo 4 looks pretty badass. I thought it was going to be from a Dark Souls perspective. I don't know if you guys heard that rumor, but that's what I was under the impression of. I thought they were trying to go more in that direction, but it appears to be a top-bottom kind of bird's-eye view game. I guess it's not coming out for a couple years. It seems like they almost were forced to do this because the Diablo Immortal debacle, they were pressured by the community, I think, to show that they were doing something else Diablo-related. But I guess it's going to be a couple years out. So, cool trailer. I don't know what else to say other than I'll give it a shot when the game comes out. As far as Hearthstone goes, I guess there's a Battle Royale. I have not tried this. I haven't had a chance to look at it at all. So I think I'll probably give an opinion on that in a later podcast, but I guess it's like a battle royale or something. It seems like all these companies are continuing to copy each other with this auto chess or battle royale stuff. As far as WoW goes, I don't know anything about WoW at all. I've basically never played it, so I don't know. I know the Classic was awesome. It seems like Blizzard's going back and revamping a lot of the old games that they did, which is good, from Warcraft 3 to StarCraft Remastered. I wonder if they're going to do a Diablo 2 Remastered. I imagine they're going to have to do that, but it would seem like there would almost be too much Diablo coming out at once, right? So, I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I haven't really tried the Hearthstone thing. Overwatch 2 was announced. Now, this one I thought was a little bit weird. It seems like it's more DLC. Tell me if I'm wrong about this. It seems like it's much, much, much more DLC, like an add-on. It doesn't seem like it's a new game. It seems as though it's just like they're adding in a single player. Isn't this weird, this whole situation where games are released essentially incomplete now? I don't mean to sound like an old person, but you used to buy a game, and that was the entire game. I mean, this is what StarCraft 1 was. You bought it. It came with a map editor. It came with a campaign. It came with multiplayer. And now, And I'm not saying that a game has to come out with everything, but it seems strange that a game comes out and then they add in things that were normally already there in just a normal game that would have been released maybe 15 years ago. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. It does seem like Overwatch needs a push. I think that's one of the reasons why they said Overwatch 2 and not, you know, for instance, yeah, that StarCraft, and there was StarCraft Brood War, right? Or the different expansions for StarCraft 2. You know what I'm saying? Seems like they're trying to make a big push and get more people on board. This has always been a weird thing for me because Overwatch and StarCraft are the big esports at Blizzard, right? But Overwatch is a new one. So I'm always rooting for Overwatch to succeed because I kind of need it to succeed so that StarCraft also does well, right? Both the esports need each other in a way. StarCraft is the old one, you know, kind of the foundation esport. Overwatch, on the other hand, is new. They're trying to franchise it and do this really aggressive marketing campaign. So I hope it works out. I'm just curious to see how it's going to be received, how much it'll help the game. Yeah, and then there was StarCraft, I guess, had some announcements. I don't do the co-op commander stuff, so this doesn't really mean much to me. I'm only into multiplayer. I am wondering if they're ever going to do a new RTS at Blizzard. I can see why they wouldn't be releasing one right away if they just did StarCraft Remastered not long ago. Warcraft Reforged appears to be just around the corner. And I guess you don't want to have too many RTSs dropping at once, right? But I would imagine after they've remastered Warcraft 3, I don't think they would then go remaster Warcraft 2, right? I think that's going a little bit too far in the past. I would hope they would eventually go to another RTS. It just seems like it's about time. This is one of the things that always kind of pisses me off is that everybody says nobody makes RTS. Well, actually, everybody used to make RTSs because all these companies would copy each other. Now they're all making auto chess and battle royale games. But there's nothing to stop you. I mean, Blizzard has like a total market dominance on RTS. I don't see why, if they didn't release another one, make it free to play, put in some microtransactions, something like that. It couldn't be profitable. I don't know. I mean, you guys know what I'm saying. It's a little bit weird. On to WCS. So I think we are all in agreement that one day feels too rushed. I can imagine what it was like as a viewer, but just as somebody who was working there. you know, you guys remember that Kalaris was there in the pre-week? Believe it or not, he was also there on the final day. There was just so many games going on that they didn't really have any time to throw to this desk that they had set up to have casters there. I was on that desk, I think, once. And this is because everything was crammed together. And I think ideally it would be done in 2 days. But here was one of the situations is that both Overwatch and the StarCraft team, they both want that circular stage. So if you guys look back last year, StarCraft was in a different hall. Prior to that, we were always in this big arena area. And you guys can see this if you go on YouTube or check out the older VODs. There was this giant stage would transform. I can't remember what the technology is they used, but it's some, it's not, how the fuck is this called? I don't know. Just go look at it. You'll see that, you know, the stage changes to the map and to the race. It's very cool. But they decided not to use that. For last year, they put us in one of the main halls. Now, here's what's funny about this. This filled up with way more people than anything else had ever had because Cyril was winning in the finals of last year. So we had a huge audience. But that big circular stage, that area, it was really sought after. Both the StarCraft team and the Overwatch team wanted their game there. And I think from what I understand, eventually a compromise was made. And basically, StarCraft got the first day, Overwatch got the second day. And it seems like on some level, both sides ended up losing out because both of the events were a little bit rushed. So I thought, okay, what are ways to fix that? And this might be an unpopular one, but you know, if you just had the round of four for a one-day event, maybe then you could actually build more of a story. When we were casting down there, it was like game, boom, game, boom, game, boom. Very little fill time in between, very little time to utilize B-roll. It definitely felt more rushed than the pre-week we had here in Korea for the WCS pre-week. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm in agreement with you guys. Congrats to Dark. He totally crushed it. If you guys go back, this is just something funny that happens when you're casting, but in game two, Rainer was dead but wasn't leaving. And so there's this weird moment where Dan and me are trying to hype it, and then we realize, oh, he's just not leaving yet, right? And it's always tricky to try to figure out how to navigate that as a caster while still trying to keep the excitement there. And then in the last game when he started to get killed by Dark, I was getting ready to hype it, and then I thought, oh, wait a minute, maybe he's going to stay in the game. I want to try to hit it the right time. And then he taps out GG, and I go, oh, okay, GG. So not my best finals moment as a caster, but the games are very cool nonetheless. I actually thought the semifinals were even better. Cyril Rayner, that last game was insane, man. Very cool stuff. So it was a treat, though, to work with the Overwatch production team. Those guys are total pros. Also, a little side note here, but they had the coolest sound setup I've ever seen as a caster. I had like 8 different dials that I could control every type of volume that I could receive. So I could control Dan's volume exactly, my volume exactly, the audience's volume exactly, my producer's voice, the in-game sound. It was really cool. They definitely need to have that for every esports event. For some of you guys who are trying to come up and talk to me before we go live, when you see me with my headset on, we're trying to make sure that all the sound is balanced out perfectly. Because speaking from experience, when the sound is not going right and you start to cast and you can't hear your co-host, or the game sound is too loud, or you can't hear yourself, it can be a disaster. So for those of you guys that were trying to talk or say hi, sorry, I'm actually, when I'm hooked up to that, we're going through a series of tests to make sure that everything's going to be okay for when the show goes live. And by the way, it was cool getting to see some of you guys down there. It is always nice to see some of the people in person that watch StarCraft, and some of you guys who even support on Patreon. Very cool stuff. One other thing that I was a little bit disappointed about was, I think we need to be having some kind of a big show match for the AI. I know that Cyril got to play against it, but I would love if we could get one player from each race and then play the AI in each matchup, because I really want to see... This is the DeepMind AI. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. I would love to see how a pro and the AI fare in each matchup. Like, what if we find out that the DeepMind AI cannot lose Zerg versus Zerg no matter what, but it has a hard time in TVT? You know what I'm saying? The game operates in so many different ways. I'm very curious to see in a man versus machine setup how that goes. So hopefully Blizzard will do something like that. But we are going to have to see. Other than that, man, being in LA, it's really cool to go back to America. I have been going to BlizzCon, I think, since 2007 or 2006. So I've been in Anaheim every year, early November, for over a decade. So this is this cool ritual I've been doing. It's always good to reconnect with old friends. When I wasn't casting, Maynard and Nathanius were hanging out in my hotel room watching me play Resident Evil 2. On my laptop, which, by the way, was a pretty cool remake. So that was fun. Good to get some LA sunshine. God, the weather is beautiful out there. Although I will tell you, man, I think there's something to being in a place where the weather does change dramatically. I think it puts you more in tune with the world, you know, and time changing and seasons changing. So it's good to be back at Seoul. I'm welcoming the winter, even though it's going to be pretty brutal. And other than that, man, just some KSL going on. And December, I don't think there's going to be anything happening. So again, I'm going to be doing more recordings for this podcast. We are going to be getting that video stuff set up. This, I think, is going to be the only episode without a bonus episode, because this is just an extra episode as it is, just with me recording myself talking about BlizzCon. If you guys want to support us on Patreon, again, it's really appreciated. We are going to be having another podcast, by the way, coming out very soon as well, and I'll announce that guest here now. It's going to be Kolaris. He didn't get to talk much at the BlizzCon finals, but I did get to get a recording with him the day before we had the BlizzCon cast. And this is a really cool episode, and we do have a bonus episode for that. And that'll probably be coming out on Monday. So, yeah. Guys, thanks for listening to this extra episode. Let me know what you think. I love you guys, and we'll be having another podcast coming out very soon. Bye-bye.